Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Happy Halloween, Hoodads. Getting ready for Sunday in L.A. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long, also Andrew Pearson running Master Control, as we have a 4-6 show this evening, filling in for Deuce and Haas, who are going to be making their way out to L.A. with the team today. Saints flying out after practice, and the Black and Gold got a tough matchup this week, Charlie. We know that the you were talking about scary or frightful. 5-2 Rams are a frightful bunch.
Yeah, happy Halloween, everyone. SoFi Stadium is a beautiful place. Isn't Jeff like a big hater of it?
He's a total hater.
If I remember correctly.
I love poking him about that place.
Yeah, it's funny. But, I mean, the Saints are out there all the time, it feels like. I mean, they're out there in the preseason this year.
Right,
they're out
the Rams
there
feel like
season.
They're in the South.
Yeah, they play almost every year. And so, listen, the Rams are awesome. I mean, we've talked with multiple different reporters throughout the week. Mark Schlereth said, basically puts them up there with the Packers and the Lions as the best teams in the entire NFC. And it's maybe arguable you could throw a couple different teams in there like the Seahawks or, you know, other teams that are playing really well early on in the season. But the Rams are legit, Steve. And if you look at their two losses this year, they're 5-2. Both of them are pretty fluky. Like, you remember what happened. I mean, you're an Eagles fan. You remember what happened in that Rams-Eagles matchup, I think in week three. And then kind of a couple weeks ago, that Thursday night football kind of fluky game against the 49ers, a rival team. But if you want to know what you should expect from the Rams, I think all you need to do is look at what they did in London to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago. Annihilated that team on both sides of the ball. That's what makes them so scary to me, Steve, is that it's not just Stafford and Puka and Devontae and Kyron and all these offensive weapons where they're putting up all these points per game. They've got a good defense. Sean McVay's an unbelievable offensive mind, but just look at the guys they got on their front seven, Steve. That is a scary unit. So it's a complete team. There's a reason Schlereth said they're one of the best teams in the entire NFC. They're a true contender. The Saints are going to have their hands full this weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, the only issue, if you really want to take from this Saints, this Rams squad that they're going up against, is they've had issues with their field goal units getting the field goal attempts get blocked. I don't know how much is on the kicker or on that line.
It goes back to that Eagles game. That's how it ended.
Right.
Was the Eagles ended up covering that game as well. I remember because we did pick six for it. The Eagles covered that game on a last-second blocked field goal return for a touchdown, which would have given the Rams basically the win against Philadelphia. So they're an awesome team, Steve, and we can dive into the numbers on both sides of the ball that kind of prove that. But yeah, I mean, special teams is a part of the game. At the same time, there's a reason that when you look at this spread, it's Rams minus 14.5 right now. I mean, we did pick six just yesterday, Steve, but
yowza, right?
Vegas knows how good this Rams team is. And like I said, the Black and Gold will have their hands full.
Yeah, you know, you might want to look at this and say, well, the Saints kind of played the Buffalo Bills tight.
Yeah.
And they have a pretty formidable offense. But like you mentioned, the Bills' defense is nowhere near close to what this Rams squad has.
Yeah, I would say the Rams are a more complete team than the Bills. The Bills obviously have the reigning MVP, and they can put up points with anybody. We'll see what happens this weekend against Kansas City. I'm looking forward to that game. But if you're talking about just both sides of the ball being stout, that's what this Rams squad is. It's not just offense, it's also defense. So challenge on both sides for this black and gold bunch. And, you know, it makes me nervous because Tyler Shuck going in, he's basically being thrown into the deep end of the pool, Steve. And obviously we'll do a lot more preview of this on Sunday as well for First Take. But they're really throwing him out there against one of the toughest teams on the Saints' entire schedule and saying, sink or swim. That's what, you know, I compared it when I was talking with Mike about this on Tuesday. You remember last year, and I'm not comparing the player, but Drake May. Mm-hmm. He sits for the first six games. And then in week seven, they throw him out against a really good Texans defense. And that really ferocious front seven that they have with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. And they just say, sink or swim. And the great secondary that the Texans have as well. And he looked pretty good, right? And then he ended up showing them enough to say, this is your franchise quarterback for the future. And he's been awesome this year. But his first game was against a really good team in that Texans squad. It's kind of a similar situation for Tyler Shuck. Now, granted, like I said, not comparing Shuck to May by any stretch of the imagination, just throwing out a rookie QB in their first NFL start against a really good defense. That's kind of the similar situation that I see it as.
What I'm hoping here, Charlie, is they're throwing him right into the smoldering fire right away against the tough Rams squad.
Right.
Things kind of get a little bit easier the next matchup against the Panthers. You got a week off. And then, okay, I'm feeling a little more comfortable. You've gotten a taste of that speed of the game. You faced two, you know, squads already, and then you come home to face the Dirty Birds. His first matchup in the Superdome will be against the Atlanta Falcons after a bye week.
Perfect.
Right,
don't forget
exactly.
The bye week in the middle of that. So I think the reason that they're throwing him out there, Scott Shanley had made this point with us, Steve, that you get the tape from those two games. Whatever he does against the Rams, whatever he does against the Panthers, and you have those two full games of footage to sit down with Tyler Shuck, see what he does well, see what he needs to improve on right off the bat, because there's going to be things that he's going to have to improve on. Obviously, he's not going to be perfect immediately. So, but you also have that bye week to go over that footage, and I think that's obviously very valuable.
The black and gold right now, surprisingly, pretty healthy going into this matchup. We had three questionable on the injury report today, Charlie said in the Sports Flash. You got Alvin Kamara. Also, Rashid Shaheed and Alante Taylor. Other than that, no injury designations for this game for anybody, but I guarantee you all three of those guys that are questionable are playing.
Yeah, you would imagine so. And then we have the Rams updates as well, right, Steve? Has that been
correct?
Released?
And they only have listed as doubtful is their corner, Darius Williams, dealing with a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there are no game statuses for players. So you know what that means? Puka Nacua is back, folks.
Puka's a dog.
Puka's scary.
He is just, and anybody, right, that plays fantasy football knows how good Puka Nacua is. But even if you don't, if you're just a casual football fan, if you're not into the fantasy aspect of it, he's been a top three receiver in all of football this year. And that's not even questionable. He has been that guy. If you want to talk about yards per game this season, Steve, 102.7. That's above Jamar Chase. That's above Justin Jefferson. That's above CeeDee Lamb. Whatever other, it's only behind JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who in his own right has been outstanding for the Seahawks this year as their wide receiver one. I saw a stat about some of the best receiving seasons ever, right, in NFL history. And a lot of the times, I mean, you remember the Cooper Kupp season back in 2020. You remember, I think it was 2020, wasn't it? He broke all these records. He won like the Triple Crown that year. Megatron, as far as receiving yards, right, some of the highest receiving yards of all time. It's typically Matt Stafford throwing these guys the ball, and because they're his number one target, he just kind of spams them, but they're also so good in their own right that they get open regardless of what coverage you play, and then the yak capabilities of some of these all-time great receivers like Megatron, like what Kupp did that year, and what Puka is doing this year, it's just so, so difficult to stop. So, so difficult to stop, Steve.
You mentioned with Stafford there. That's one thing about him.
Yeah.
Unlike the new generation, I guess, of quarterbacks, he's not really that mobile guy that's going to run around.
No.
And, you know, he's got escapability to extend plays a little bit to get the ball down the field, but he's not, you know, tucking and running at all.
He's older, obviously, but he can still sling it.
One of the best arms.
If you let him, Deuce made this great point yesterday when we had him on the weekend kickoff show. If you let him sit in the pocket and you don't blitz him and you don't get him on the ground, he is going to eat you alive because he has been there and done that.
We saw it last year.
The old Wiley vet has seen everything any defensive coordinator has tried to throw at him, right? Nothing will surprise this guy. What is it, Steve? Like his 16th year in the NFL? He's been around the block, man.
Right.
So there's nothing you can do that will surprise him. What you can do is put him on the ground. You can get hits in on him. And that old body, you know, that could be a difference maker.
When I was talking to Jeff on the Inside Black and Gold podcast today, that was my thing. I was like, I don't want to hurt him, but I want to hurt him. And he's like, you mean you want to touch
just
him up?
Hit him.
Like, yeah, I want to hit him and hit him hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing about him as well, he's only taken 11 sacks all season long.
Yeah, the line's been pretty good.
The line has been good. He's getting the ball out. And when you have Davante Adams, when you have Puka Nacua, like you can get it out and still get positive plays pretty easily. Now, Matt Stafford, like that is the key, is to be able to put pressure on him, put heat on him, because otherwise if he just sits back there, you saw what he did. And by the way, this is a team coming off their bye week against Jacksonville in London, 5 touchdowns. What else is there to say?
Yeah.
He torched them. And it just kept, like, you kept checking in with that game, because Jacksonville, they picked up their win over the Chiefs. They're flying high. They were feeling good about themselves in the AFC South playoff picture. And then all of a sudden, they go over to London, and the Rams beat the snot out of them. And you're wondering, what the heck happened? Oh, Matt Stafford throws 5 touchdown passes in that game, and they win 35-7. That's kind of what the Saints have to try and avoid this weekend. That's for sure.
Taking your call today, too, folks, on this Halloween. You can give us a shout, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're up to, what you're cooking in that witch's brew for a Sunday at the L.A. Rams. 5-2 Rams taking on the 1-7 Saints. And we haven't really talked even that much about it. Tyler Shuck, the rookie, getting his first hard start. So to me, Charlie, I do have that little bit of hope or positivity, just because we got at least something new going into this week's matchup.
See what he can give you. You picked him 40th
overall. You got to see what he can do.
And it's a point that we've made throughout the week as well. You gave Spencer effectively half of the season. You give Tyler the second half of the season, which, by the way, this is easily the toughest game the Saints have left on their schedule.
For sure.
So you give him his debut against a really brutal defense in the Rams. And then you let him kind of develop over this back half of the season. And if you like what you see, you don't have to worry about quarterback near the top of next year's draft.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk, this Halloween edition, folks. Coming back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the big one at WWL. Welcome back here into Sports Talk, our Halloween edition, getting ready for week 9 of the NFL season. Saints taking on the Rams in LA Sunday, 3:05, right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. To help us break down the Rams side of things, Ryan Dyrud, CEO and founder of LAFB Network. Ryan, thanks so much for the time. How you doing today, man?
Gentlemen, doing good. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk some ball with you. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. You know, it's Halloween, and the only thing that's scaring me right now is seeing the 1-7 Saints traveling to face this 5-2 Rams squad, who seem to be a pretty darn complete squad. Offense, defense, maybe a little issues on special teams with the kicking game, but overall, really just impressive stuff. We'll start with the offense, and Matthew Stafford still getting it done. And I know that seeing the injury report, it was pretty likely anyway, seeing Puka Nacua back in action this week, and it's just been a killer, amazing fifth-round pick from this squad that I credit a ton of the L.A. Rams with their scouting department and some of their finds. But overall, just talk about the efficiency that Stafford's operating with and how this offense has just been generating.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly shocking that Stafford is so low on the MVP polls right now. I think he's actually having statistically one of his best seasons of his career, and obviously leading this Rams offense as a whole and the air attack that they have. And, you know, last week was actually their best, or I should say 2 weeks ago before the bye, was their best offensive productive game, and it was without Puka Nacua. He was hurt and was really able to lean on Davante Adams and, you know, get their rookie tight end Terrence Ferguson involved. So you know, he's one of those guys that's just always locked in. The talk I'm sure you guys heard during training camp was the whole back, and, you know, was he going to look like himself? Was there going to be injury concerns? And clearly that has not been an issue at all, because he is slinging the ball just like he always does. And you know, he's what makes this Rams offense go. They obviously want to get the run game involved and get Kyren Williams going, but it all comes down to Matthew Stafford. And you know, you mentioned Puka Nacua, and he's obviously great and huge, but it's really on Matthew Stafford to kind of get everyone else involved and in how they do things. So he's done a fantastic job so far and doesn't show any signs of letting up.
to your point about, you know, MVP conversation, 17 touchdowns to 2 interceptions is just awesome. And with Puka out, that last game that they played against Jacksonville, which was 2 weeks ago because they were coming off their bye week, the game out in London and everything like that, Davante Adams really kind of stepped up into that wide receiver one role. And just having him be available as the wide receiver 2 on this team behind Puka, it really unlocks so much of this passing game. In that game against Jacksonville, caught 3 of Matt Stafford's 5 touchdowns. He actually leads the Rams on the season with 6 touchdowns. Just want to get your thoughts on Davante Adams and how big of an addition he's been.
Yeah, it's been huge. I mean, it was obviously a guy that they really targeted. I'm sure you guys saw, but McVay made like an entire compilation of how they could use him in the offense during his like sales pitch as a free agent. So he was a guy that, you know, they clearly saw as an upgrade, even though someone like Cooper Kupp has meant so much to this organization, but they decided to part ways with him and go after Davante Adams and give him, you know, a bigger contract. So early on in the season, you know, Puka was obviously the guy, and he will be the guy moving forward. But in terms of target share, Davante Adams actually sometimes was targeted more than Puka, just didn't quite have that chemistry yet with, I think, Stafford missing a lot of training camp. But now that chemistry has been built, and then last week without Puka being in, they were really able to utilize him as that wide receiver one. So, I mean, they really have 2 wide receiver ones on this single team, and they're kind of interchangeable. And, you know, the big thing for this offense that, you know, we talk on our show all the time is how do they get the other guys involved? You know, and that's why I think they've had some red zone deficiencies is, you know, when they're keying in on the 2 big names so much. And then once you get down in the tighter space in the red zone, who else can they spread the ball around? So the more they can do that throughout the season, I think the more dominant this offense can become. But to your question, obviously a long-winded answer, but Davante Adams is absolutely fit right in. The team loves him. Great leader on the team, obviously a veteran presence, and he's going to be someone they lean on certainly down the stretch thanks to that veteranness.
You know, Ron, you mentioned getting other guys involved on the offense, and someone I was curious to ask you about, Terrence Ferguson, the rookie tight end, second-round pick, really liked him coming out of Oregon in the NFL draft. I know it was a slow go getting him involved. He did finally get his first touchdown of the year this past week against Jacksonville in that matchup. Is he starting to get more acclimated, I guess, in Sean McVay's scheme?
Yeah, I think so. You know, after they drafted him and after the draft, McVay made comments of like, hey, we would have actually taken this guy in the first round. That's how much we liked his tape and what he brings to this offense. And then, you know, he just doesn't get used at all at the beginning of the season. So fans start getting a little restless. Like, is this already a bust? You know how fans go. And, you know, in reality, he got a little banged up in training camp. And then he was just a little behind the curve in terms of acclimating to the NFL game and learning the system. So, you know, they had some depth at tight ends. They're able to bring him along slowly. And as you mentioned, that Jacksonville game was finally able, you know, got 4 snaps out there. And one of those was a touchdown on a deep kind of flag route, which was real nice. And I think what's interesting now, guys, is Tutu Atwell, who's there, he hasn't been used a ton. He's almost been more of a decoy, but he is their speed guy and their deep threat. He is now on the IR, and I know Terrence Ferguson obviously plays a tight end, way different body, but his depth of reception and depth of target is actually the highest on the team, even though it's a limited sample size. So I could see him get way more involved in terms of the deep ball game, which is kind of what they saw from him at Oregon, being able to line up a lot in the slot as a tight end, not just in line on that line of scrimmage. So I do think we'll see him, especially coming off the bye, getting a lot more involved. And I'm sure Brandon Staley and you guys over there in New Orleans is someone they'll kind of have to key in on and who they, you know, match him up with, especially on some of those deep routes.
No, Ryan, Steve kind of alluded to it, but not just on offense. The Rams' defense is really, really stout as well, and we saw it on full display against that Jacksonville team. That's kind of been upstart throughout the season. Everyone remembers their big win over Kansas City. They've kind of fallen off a little bit since then, but just getting smoked by the Rams 35-7 in London, it really kind of leaves a lasting impression of what this Rams team can be. And specifically, you know, the sack production from this team. They sacked Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence 7 times in that game. Now, you know, when we were talking with Mark Schlereth for Odyssey early on in the week, he said, oh, everyone will blame the offensive line for that. A lot of the sacks were on Trevor Lawrence, but it's also on the Rams defense getting after it. Byron Young leads the team with 9 sacks. Jared Verse, the second-year stud out of Florida State, has 4 on the season. They're second in the league in sacks with 26. They've just been an awesome unit up front, and that defense can really get after the passer.
Yeah, I love Mark Schlereth always defending the offensive line. That's good.
Oh yeah, it's on brand.
Got to stick to your guns there. Good for Stink. But no, I mean it's totally true. And this defensive line, how they've rebuilt it since Aaron Donald retired, and really in record timing. I mean, when Donald retired, it was like, okay, this is going to be you don't replace a player like Aaron Donald, right? And they were, I wouldn't say they necessarily replaced him with one player, but they certainly found 4 to 5 that have been able to bring that production that they got from the future Hall of Famers. So guys you mentioned, Jared Verse and Byron Young, I think have been absolutely outstanding on the outside. And on the interior, they got Braden Fisk, who was Verse's teammates, and he's developing really nicely. And Kobe Turner, a captain on the team, and someone that has really rallied around. And then even in this year's draft class, they get a kid out of Michigan in the third round from that national championship team, and he's all of a sudden turning into a nice little pass rusher. So it takes a lot of the pressure off the secondary, which is the weakness of this team. They did trade just a few days ago for Roger McCreary out of Tennessee to kind of give them some versatility. They can use him in the slot or the outside. But with Witherspoon out, who's their corner one, there's definitely some deficiencies on the secondary. So being able to have that pass rush that can really try to speed the timing up from the quarterback has led to a lot. And last thing I'll say, I mean, Chris Shula, who's the DC, he's probably not a super well-known name around, casual fans around the league. He's the grandson of the great Don Shula, but I mean, he's been on the staff since McVay got hired here, been the DC now for the second year. And I think if this continues, he might be one of the top three names in that coaching carousel next year when looking for a new head coaching job. He's just done a fantastic job with such a young unit. So, it's a group that's been real excited about.
Ryan, I kind of alluded to it in the beginning. I really think this Rams squad is a pretty complete squad, offense, defense, but a little bit of concern with the kicking game. What's been going on with some of the field goals? I know there's been a few blocks this year, especially, man, that Philadelphia game was wild.
Yeah, it's,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Part of that, and then, you know, think maybe Mark Sereth will love this, but part of that's been the offensive line. I haven't been able to get, you know, good blocking and penetration from the defensive line has just gotten through on some of these kicks that have led to blocks. But there's another aspect of this that we've kind of looked into, and, you know, the team, I think, will not agree with this, or at least they won't to the media. But Josh Tardy, as you guys have seen, probably has really developed this great kickoff ability of these kind of knuckleball kicks that really, you know, short hop the returners. And it's been fantastic. I mean, it's really flipped the field for this Rams special teams. But some of that, I feel like, has almost then hindered his actual field goal kicking game, just because, you know, it's like going from a pitching wedge to then having to use your driver, but you only got one club to do it with, and it's, you know, your right leg. So I think that's maybe hindered it a little bit, but I think more so it's just been kind of the offensive line maybe not having enough, you know, in the trenches there to kind of hold down. So it's something that definitely needs to be improved on. It's, I mean, it's cost them games in reality. So that is kind of the one weak leak, as you alluded to, of this team right now.
It's really interesting because we keep talking about this Rams squad as being one of the best teams in the NFC, which I believe they are. And this will lead into my question. They're number two in their division because the Seahawks are 5-2. The Rams are 5-2. Seattle technically has a tiebreaker there. And then the 49ers 5-3. But just generally speaking, like Steve had brought up the blocked field goal against the Eagles, which was kind of a fluky loss in Philadelphia where you could have potentially won that game. And then the other game, the Thursday night football game at home against the 49ers, also pretty fluky, where Kyren Williams fumbles at like the 1 yard line at the very end of regulation where you could potentially win that game. It goes into OT and you lose it. The two losses they've had have been very strange, but this is still a very, very good 5-2 team. And just
that
generally
could be 7-0.
Yeah, exactly. Very close to being 7-0. And if you're talking about their point differential, this is the second best team in the entire NFC. Just want to get your thoughts on where you would place this Rams squad as far as the top contenders in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I think they're a really disciplined team overall. They've had a couple mistakes here and there that have cost them dearly, unfortunately, just at crunch moments. But overall, it's a deep group. It's a really talented group. Obviously, great coach team with McVay. And, you know, if you're looking at power rankings, I really do see them in the top five in the whole NFL. I think you look at, you know, the Detroit Lions, you look at, you know, Green Bay surges here and there. Kansas City, obviously, is Kansas City and coming back. Indianapolis, the surprise of the NFL, who the Rams beat, actually. The one loss for Indianapolis is against this Rams team. So I think you got to put them right in there in that top contending group. And you said it at the beginning of the question, like, the NFC West, I think, you know, it's been seen as a definitely good division, but with the new coming of Sam Darnold in Seattle, with all the injuries that the San Francisco 49ers have dealt with, it's kind of surprising that they are truly like the best division in the NFC right now, at least in terms of record-wise. So they back-ended their divisional games. They've only played one thus far, so they've got five division games now in this back stretch of the season. So that'll be the real telling point of kind of where they finish. But so far through their first seven games, I mean, they're a top five team to me in the NFL.
Ryan, I'm checking out here the ALFB Network. You guys aren't just about football. Also, World Series tonight. You got some stuff on there if folks want to check it out.
Big game.
Yeah, I got my Shohei Ohtani shirt on right now. We'll see if they can push to a game seven. So haven't looked good in the last two. But, hey, if any team, I think, can turn it around, I think the Dodgers probably can.
Awesome stuff, Ryan. Go check out his work there at LAFB Network. Appreciate the time, man, and I'll be talking soon as we get ready for LA Sunday, a 3:05 kickoff here against the Rams. Appreciate it, Ryan.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Dyrud, CEO and founder of the LA Football Network, talking about the 5-2 Rams, man. And yeah, this team, I think, is definitely one of the serious contenders to represent the NFC in the big game.
The best team as far as point differential in the NFC, you'd probably guess it. It's up there. Detroit at +64. Number two, the Rams at plus 58 this season. And to Ryan's point about the World Series, we'll see if Shohei Ohtani gets some action if they get to a game seven, but you got to get there first. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto is quite a tall task for the Blue Jays to overcome. But I'm rooting for Toronto. Sorry, Ryan, but I'd like to see David win against Goliath, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Well, you know, too, Charlie, as a Yankees fan, I'm pulling for Toronto just to hopefully get Don Mattingly a ring.
Okay.
Just because Donnie Baseball's there.
Sure, I guess so. I was thinking like divisional rivalries and stuff like that. I hate the Dodgers.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We shall return more with our spooky Halloween edition right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks. Back here on Sports Talk, folks. So we were yapping about a little bit the World Series going to break. And Charlie, another reason to root for Toronto? Oh, they got Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight. Yeah. LSU, baby.
Yeah, former LSU Tiger. Listen, we mentioned with Yamamoto throwing tonight, and this will be our short kind of World Series segment because Game 6 is tonight. The Dodgers down 2-3 in this series after they won that 18-inning marathon game just a few nights ago, Steve, that I stayed up and watched until like 2 o'clock in the morning Central Time, which I can only imagine the poor people of Toronto up to like 3 o'clock and just to watch Freddie Freeman walk that game off. But then to watch the Blue Jays bounce back and win the next two games in L.A. and Trey Savage, 22 years old, mowing down over seven innings, getting 12 strikeouts against a billion-dollar lineup in the Dodgers. He's 22. He was pitching in high eight ball at the start of the year.
That's storybook movie stuff right there.
Unbelievable. He's making like $50,000 this season as a Blue Jays pitcher, and he goes out and has the performance of his life in the World Series in L.A. to set up the Blue Jays to win this thing at home with one of the next two games. Now, as we mentioned, Yamamoto against Gausman. Gausman, the former LSU Tiger, has had a great postseason. Despite the 2-2 record at 2.55 ERA in the playoffs, in 24 innings pitched, he struck out 18, only allowed 14 hits. He's been very, very good. But Yamamoto's on a different level right now.
Do we know anything more about Springer for the Blue Jays
tonight?
He's
going to be playing tonight.
Okay.
As far as I know, I think that I saw that report is that he's going to be returning.
Shoot him up.
Yeah, listen, you got to figure out a way to get one of these next two games and bring the World Series back to Canada. I hate kind of saying that, but I also don't like the Dodgers, so I'm rooting for the Blue Jays here. And Kevin Gausman, former LSU Tiger, getting a World Series would be pretty cool as well. But this Yamamoto dude, like, back-to-back complete game performances in the playoffs. He's 3-1, a 1.57 ERA. Steve, typically an MLB starter on average, just over four pitches, right? That's the average. An MLB starter can throw four. Yamamoto has six. He throws a four-seamer, he throws a sinker, a cutter, a slider, a splitter, and a curveball, just for good measure. And when he's throwing them all for strikes and he's pounding the zone, he's quite literally unhittable because you have no idea what's coming.
Right.
So he's a real tough challenge. It's a battle of aces, effectively. I know that Blake Snell was really good before the World Series started, and then he kind of, you know, wet the diaper, so to speak, in this two World Series starts. But Yamamoto really is the Dodgers' ace right now, and Gausman's been the Blue Jays' ace all season long. So if you're a fan of really great pitching, tune in tonight's game. It should be a lot of fun, and it's going to probably come down to who gets the clutch hit in this matchup. Can it be the Blue Jays and wrap up the World Series and win it 4-2? Or will the Dodgers force a winner-take-all Game 7, the two best words in sports?
This is when I wish like the iPhone invented like the teleport feature and we could zap to the Toronto tonight see that atmosphere and how they're going to be feeling for this matchup with the World Series championship on the line.
Playoff baseball, there's nothing like it. Like, I just think back to the ALCS, right? Game 7. The Mariners are up on the Blue Jays, and then George Springer hits the go-ahead home run in the seventh inning, and just seeing that crowd pop, like, you get it from different angles, right? You have the broadcast angle, which is fantastic in its own right, but then there was like a view from the dugout, right, where you just see the crowd behind Springer as he cracks that three-run shot. They go bananas. Like, I love baseball. How can you not be emotional about baseball, just seeing stuff like that? And hopefully someone, you know, in the Blue Jays lineup has that type of moment tonight against, once again, what has been an elite pitcher and Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
I wonder how they're going to deal with trick-or-treaters in Toronto tonight. Don't knock on my door while I'm watching the game.
No, stay away. Everybody in Toronto is probably going to be locked into this game. You know, everyone was talking about, oh, the ratings, what are the ratings going to be like? They're sky high right now because people, not just in America, people in Canada, and obviously the people in Japan watching as well. It's been great ratings for the MLB and a great series to boot as well.
Shuffling off to break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with even more closing out the 4 o'clock hour right after this on WWL. Folks, I want to remind you, WWL is also your home for the New Orleans Pelicans. Tonight, they play in Los Angeles as well. What do you know? They're heading out to a West Coast trip here, too. Catch all the action this evening. Pels at Clippers. Pregame at 9 o'clock. Tip-off 9:30 on the big 870 WWL AM. Whew, Charlie, the start of the Pels season has been rough. To say it's rough has been an understatement right now.
Yeah, and we're going to break down a lot of it with Nick Friedel. I'm looking forward to that. Nick, we haven't had on probably since around, you know, free agency starting back in July. Nick is one of our favorites. He's fantastic at breaking down the NBA. I think he's also now working, doing coverage for the Warriors right now. So
correct,
yeah. He's definitely covering a better team than what the Pelicans are. But we'll get his kind of thoughts on...
Well, that's easy to say.
Yeah, we'll get his thoughts on how this 0-4 start has gone, what's kind of in the cards for Coach Willie Green's future here, as well as...
A lot of rumblings.
Yes, and they're getting loud. So we'll dive into all that and what's coming up next for this Pels team as well with Nick in the 5 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll hear from Nick Friedel, plus get into his audio. You hear from Alvin Kamara, plus take your calls, 504-260-1870, as we get ready for Week 9 at the L.A. Rams. Black and gold getting rookie Tyler Shuck his first start. Top of the hour news break up next. It is Miller time, folks. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Well, folks, if you're tuning in right now, waiting for fans in the pro going, where's Deuce and Haas? Well, Charlie and I have kidnapped them for Halloween. No, I'm kidding. They're getting ready to head out with the Saints a day early. They're heading out today to the West Coast. L.A. West Coast road trip. Kellen Moore want to get out a little bit ahead of time. So they'll fly in out today to the West Coast. And Charlie and I getting to sit in with you from 4 to 6 today on Sports Talk.
Yeah, flying out to SoFi Stadium, which is Jeff Nowak's House of Horrors, apparently.
Yeah,
right. It's spooky out there. Even though it's a brand new, gorgeous stadium, why does Jeff hate that stadium?
I think he says, like, the logistics and where he has to go. Like,
it's got, like, the openings or whatever.
That, too, bothers him. But, like, from getting to the broadcast booth back down to the field is not an easy trek.
Okay.
Making his life difficult, so we don't like that.
I guess that makes more sense than just saying, I hate this brand new billion-dollar stadium that, you know, just from the outside, SoFi Stadium looks so cool.
Right.
I want to go visit it someday. I'd love to go. And it is really funny. You know, we talked in the last hour with Ryan Dyrud about, you know, the Rams and everything. When the Rams host the 49ers, obviously the Rams moved from St. Louis, and they're still LA's not a football town. It's a Dodgers town and it's a Lakers town.
But they got two teams.
They have two teams and they both should have stayed where they were at, but that's besides the point. It's really funny seeing the crowd dynamics whenever they play the 49ers and the entire crowd is just red.
Right.
It's a sea of red. So home field advantage, you know, for both the Chargers and the Rams, it's, let's just say, less than stellar out in LA.
And the Saints still have not won a regular season game in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah. We'll see if they can turn that around, but it's not going to be easy this weekend, Steve.
14.5-point underdogs, Charlie.
What was the line for the Bills game? It was close to that, wasn't it? It may have been 15.5 by the time it closed.
I definitely have to go and check. It was definitely up in double digits.
They covered. They didn't win.
Right, exactly. This one, I'm not so sure if they cover.
Bobby always says that double-digit point spreads in the NFL are like 30-plus point spreads in college, if you want to look at it that way, because pros versus pros in the NFL, you rarely see two touchdown favorites unless it's an elite team versus a rebuilding team. And that's exactly what we have here. The Rams are awesome. They're one of the best teams in the entire NFC, one of the best teams in the entire NFL. And the Saints are where they are right now with a 1-7 record. So Vegas has set that line. It was initially at 13.5, and then it got that boost up to 14.5 with the news that Tyler Shuck would be making his first NFL start. So it doesn't sound like a big gap. Right, 13.5 to 14.5, but you got to realize that's more than two touchdowns. Yeah. So it's almost like the gap between 6.5 to 7.5, right? Do you think that they're going to win by more than a touchdown? Do you think that they're going to win by less than two touchdowns or more than two touchdowns? And Vegas has said it as such that they expect the Rams to win this game by more than 14 points.
Black and Gold getting ready for this one with a rookie quarterback making his first career NFL start. That's Tyler Shuck. Running back Alvin Kamara was in the locker room yesterday talking about a bunch of things, the rookie and getting ready for the Rams. Let's hear what he had to say. Saints running back Alvin Kamara there talking about getting ready for this LA Rams squad on Sunday. And man, oh man, I'm just hoping to see more of a little bit of the old AK that we're used to. There's just the run game this year for the Black and Gold has been non-existent when they've gotten their touches, which have been limited.
They had that game against the Bills, right, where they go for, I think it was like 185 rushing yards in that game, something close to it. And it almost feels like it was a little bit of fool's gold in a sense because the Bills' defense is so bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that is like number one priority for the Saints' offense this week, and Shuck's first NFL start is to take the pressure off of him and be able to run the football. If you can't do that, Steve, it's going to be a long day for Shuck against this defense, especially if you're going to have to throw the ball, I don't even want to say 40 times, but like 35 plus times in this game for Shuck.
Good, right?
He's going to be under siege by this front seven of the Rams. It's not doing the kid any kind of favors if you're not going to commit to being able to run the football in this game. So it's like step A, step B, step C is to get Kamara going, see what Devin Neal has. Obviously, Kendra Miller's out for the rest of the season, so none of him. But you have to be able to run the football, make life a little bit easier on Tyler Shuck because, like I said, Steve, if you're asking Shuck in his first NFL start to throw the ball across the yard against this Rams defense, it's not going to work.
I love when he was asked about, you know, have you been lobbying to get more carries? He's like, that's not my place. I'm employee number 41.
When we had Kellen Moore on the Saints coaches show on Monday, he had basically said that it's on him to figure out how to get this offense rolling because, like Alvin said, the last 2 weeks, it's been a turnover thing. And I think that's ultimately why Rattler ended up going to the bench. Because, you know, when we were doing the first take show for the Bears game, right? We had defended Rattler and how well he had been playing up to that point. Yes, maybe game manager level, but still average starting quarterback play, which surpassed a lot of expectations for him entering the year, where every single list you would see had Rattler as the 32nd ranked QB as a starter in the NFL. He was playing good football, and then the turnover bug happens, where six turnovers in six quarters, and they're all on him. Granted, there were other, you know, mistakes and turnovers in that game against the Buccaneers where Rashid fumbles the ball, where, you know, Olave effectively hit the interception that went against Shuck. Olave basically handed the ball to the DB on that play.
That and certainly felt like it took the whole air out of anything positive Rattler's done. That's all you're going to remember is that pick six right now.
But yeah, the pick six was on Rattler.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. When Rattler went to the bench, it was because of effectively 1.5 straight games of just way too many turnovers. The Saints team, the one game that they won this year against the Giants was because they forced 5 turnovers. You can't be turning the ball over 4 times in a game. And that's what they were doing under Rattler to that point. So Kellen sends him to the bench, and now we'll see what Shuck can do. And like Deuce had said when we were interviewing him yesterday, like, yes, you want to see him be able to execute the offense at a basic level, but the critical aspect of his evaluation process, can he take care of the ball? Can he prevent turnovers against a really good Rams defense that's opportunistic as well? So that's obviously what you're looking for from him.
Looking forward to that one. That's going to be a 3:05 kickoff Sunday here, of course, folks, on WWL Saints Radio 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Won't be on 870 AM, though, Charlie, because we're going to have a Pelicans game that evening. So we're going to have split signals of two of the professional franchises going on Sunday.
And hopefully the Pels pick up win number one tonight. You don't want to be entering OKC and the defending champion Thunder, who are undefeated this season, by the way. I know that they've had some close games early on this year, but you don't want to be entering that game winless. You know, you want to be able to at least have a 1-4 record. But we'll see what they do tonight against the Clippers.
Yeah, we're going to get into some basketball talk coming up next. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell joining us. Stay tuned, folks, on this Halloween edition of Sports Talk coming back after the break here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Insane in the membrane. That's what the Pelicans got me feeling right now. To help us break that down, on the line with us, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Nick, how the heck you been doing so far, man?
Steve, it's so good to be with y'all again. I'm doing great. And, you know, we've been talking about it for about 3 years now, but I just feel so bad for all the poor people who are watching those games down in New Orleans right now. It is a rough go, for sure.
Yeah, we were hoping to get maybe a little relief from the Pels. LSU's having their rough start going on here, and the Saints are off to a 1-7 season right now, and things just didn't get better when basketball tipped off for us. They started out decent. You had some high expectations, but then, man, these past two games, 30-point blowouts, just overall catastrophe for this team. And you can imagine the lines have been lighting up, calling for Coach Willie Green's head.
I can only imagine just how much that is a topic of conversation, and it should be. The fact that Joe Dumars comes into power and Willie is still there, there's a reason that certain teams either have the success they do or can't find the consistency and the success that they need. And way more often than not in pro sports, and at least from what I've seen in the NBA, when you are not winning at a high level and you don't have the consistency within, you aren't run well, top to bottom. And that has been the case in New Orleans for a long time. I don't think Willie is in a good situation. The organization certainly hasn't put him in a good situation in time. The players haven't lived up to what they were supposed to be. But he never should have been back to start the year. So, I mean, you can make the change and you can find a different coach. And that is the first step of many, many steps. But when you have the type of really poor performances that the Pels have had for years and years, aside from some glimmers of hope and certain seasons here and there. It starts all the way at the top, and there is a reason that teams continue to have the same problems. It's because they are not functioning well top to bottom.
Nick, it's great to hear your voice. Happy Halloween, my friend. You know, just kind of recapping the last basically week and a half, effectively. You know, Steve will let you know. I was texting him in the first quarter of that Memphis game. I was dancing and I was, ca-caw, go Pelicans. They're kicking butt in the first quarter. And then something happened in the second half that's happened a lot throughout Willie Green's tenure, and it's the third quarter meltdown. Like, you go into that opener against the Grizzlies with a double-digit lead at halftime, and then you come out and just get blasted in the third quarter, and all of a sudden you go from up 10 to basically down 10, and you lose that game, and then you lose the next game, and then you get bludgeoned by a Boston team on the second night of a back-to-back on your home court, and then you have to go to Denver, who's obviously a contender in the NBA, and you just get killed in that game as well. And now the reports are out there, you know, Nick, about our friends over at Clutch Points, Chris Dodson, friend of the program, Brett Siegel, also posted this earlier, that the Pelicans are holding these serious internal discussions about firing Willie Green. It seems more like a when, if instead of the quote-unquote if, right? And so I just want to get your thoughts on, A, that timeline, and then we'll talk a little bit about James Borrego later on here, but just your thoughts on Willie Green as a coach and where this thing is kind of, how quickly it's all dissolved this season.
Well, Charlie, I mean, again, you and I have been talking about this since middle of last season. Like, I remember sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't think Willie's going to make it out of the year. And then not only did he make it through the summer, but here we go again, and they're not playing well at all. So it's not going to work for him there. And I think what you said is spot on. I don't think anybody's expected it to get turned around real fast, so they're going to have to find a new coach at some point in the very near future. It was a decision that should have already been made. It wasn't. Okay. And the problem is that dating back to Willie's time in Golden State, and his rep was always he can connect with the players. He can get everybody kind of on the same page. But when you continue to pile up the losses the way that they have, the coach is always the first one to go. I mean, that's not just pro sports, but that's certainly the NBA, because nobody really wants to take the blame, and the coach can get the contract paid out and just move on to whatever he's going to do next. So as far as what the Pels may do in the short term, I mean, the decision should long since have been done. What I would say, Charlie, is if you look at this team and you look at all the obvious flaws that exist, you need a coach who's going to come in and get them on the same page, hopefully defensively, and get the most out of the group every night. And the guy who has popped to my mind all along, especially after he got bounced in the summer in New York, is Tom Thibodeau. I think Tibbs would fit what they need within that organization. And I know he's got the rep as a taskmaster, and he can wear on players. Well, if you've had no success, then I would say, okay, let's make that decision in a couple of years if he starts to win and things start to really weigh on what's happening. So I don't know what the hell they're going to end up doing down there. The issue, though, is Willie just has not worked. It hasn't been what everybody in the organization would have hoped, and Charlie, there are always a lot of reasons why, but when you have a flawed roster, and the Zion conversation is just never ever going to end until he goes elsewhere, there are so many different problems, but as far as what comes next, to me, they need a coach who can really get on everybody and make sure that at least they're playing hard defensively. And to what you said at the Open, when you are blowing those leads repeatedly in the third quarter, to me, that looks like a team that really has some mental problems internally about starting the second half and just falling completely away as they have over and over again.
You know, Nick, it's an interesting point with the whole Dumars situation. And I remember we talked to you about this with the coaching carousel that happened in the NBA, where you have Thibodeau getting fired, and it's because, oh, he didn't reach, there wasn't a ceiling there that the Knicks felt like they could reach with Tom Thibodeau, whatever. Tom Thibodeau was still getting them to the playoffs year in and year out. Taylor Jenkins gets fired from Memphis. That's another great coach that had the Grizzlies in the playoffs year in and year out. Mike Malone, championship-winning coach, gets fired from Denver. They gave Willie Green a mulligan for last year because of all the injuries that happened at the start of the year and their record just mudslid out of control. But when you see all of those coaches getting fired, Nick, it didn't make any sense from the get-go that the Pelicans weren't trying to throw their hat into the ring for any one of these guys that have been consistent winners at the NBA level. And like you said, now you're into the season four games and you're already talking about moving on from Willie Green when it should have happened over the summer because all of those candidates were available.
Charlie, it is really the biggest flaw as I watch from a distance in New Orleans, and it ties back to the initial point. Bad teams are bad for a reason. And when you aren't making the decisions that you need to make and you're waiting to make decisions that should have already been made, you're just prolonging the cycle of – it's not even mediocrity. Like, they're not good, and they haven't been good. And sadly, people just don't seem to care as much day to day, and I can't blame them, because if that were my team and I were paying my hard-earned money to go to those games, I wouldn't want to watch them just get absolutely crushed night after night and lose those leads like you talk about at the start of the second half. There are obvious flaws, and when you have those type of obvious flaws over and over and over again, it goes all the way up to the top. It goes to the ownership level, and you start to question what is happening at the top of an organizational food chain there. So those questions will answer themselves in the decisions that come out next. But again, all the coaches that you mentioned there, the Tibbs and Jenkins and Malone, all of them would be an upgrade because they have much better track records. And when you sit there and you go, no, let's run it back one more time, you are doing a disservice to your organization, you're doing a disservice to your fan base, and you're serving false hope to a group of loyal people down there who deserve better from their basketball team.
On the line with us right now is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Nick, maybe a little bit of a positive here. Some of the rookies for this Pel squad. What have you seen out of Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears so far?
Steve, it's interesting that you mentioned Fears, because I was sitting at the Warriors game in Milwaukee last night, and I'm listening to some of the people around the league who have started to look at what's going on all over the place, and Fear's name popped up several times. And as we've discussed, guys, when you start hearing different names in the same arenas night after night, it permeates kind of the day-to-day chatter of what's going on in the league. Fear's name has been a guy that I think a lot of people were high on dating back into the summer, and then you start to see the way that he's starting to produce, and you go, all right, you know, maybe you have a piece. But the saddest part, and it ties in everything we're saying about the Pelicans, saddest part is you're like, all right, Fears could be a piece, and then you go, oh, man, why did they have to give up that unprotected pick?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that draft is supposed to be absolutely loaded next summer, and that will be a topic of conversation the whole way. And again, when you run poorly, those are the type of decisions that get made and get circled back to. So you feel like you can take a step forward with some of the strong play from the rookies, but it's always with the caveat of, well, yeah, okay, if you're so good at drafting rookies, why didn't you keep the pick for the draft that's supposed to be a lot more loaded a year from now? So you can always kind of pick and choose your spots, but the ultimate tally of all this is the win and the loss record, and New Orleans continues to show you how they're built and what they're putting into this. So that really is the story. It has been down there for a long, long time, and sadly, nothing is really going to change, even if and when the coaching change does happen.
You know, Nick, because it does feel like a when, not an if anymore. James Borrego is probably going to be the interim guy once they move on from Willie Green. Just want to get your thoughts on Coach Borrego, because he was kind of one of those names in a few coaching searches over the past few months and everything like that. He comes back to New Orleans, ultimately a longtime assistant at the NBA level, but he also got his head coaching start at the NBA level back in 2018 with Charlotte, where he was for basically four seasons. Just want to get your thoughts on Coach Borrego, what he kind of brings to the basketball floor, his acumen and all that good stuff. Just your thoughts on him.
Charlie, I think when you talk about Borrego, especially talking to some of my friends down there through the years in Charlotte, like, it seems like a nice guy. It seems like he's well-respected throughout the league. But I think the difference is he got his chance. You didn't really see a team that was demonstrably that much better one way or the other, and now you're trying to sell to your fan base, no, this is the guy, this is where an upgrade is going to happen. I think it goes back to the point we were just talking about, guys. If you're New Orleans and you've had all these different reasons why people should be frustrated with what's going on, the way to fix those, especially in the short term, is to spend the money on a name brand coach who has a track record of winning and who has a track record of putting together a program that can get the most out of his team night after night. And I think what scares me, Charlie, to the point about Borrego is, he's fine. But when you say James Borrego's name, you're not sitting there going, oh, man, I got Borrego? Okay, like, this is really going to turn around now. So I don't see anything dramatic changing unless you go out and you spend the money to overhaul the process of which has been in place for years down there. And until you do that and you make that commitment, and I will always bring it back to this, and guys, we've talked about this now for years. Until you make the decision to start fresh from Zion, I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the GM and the president of operations. It doesn't matter. That decision has to come first. If you don't make that decision and you keep things the way that they are, you are running in place and you're going to get the same results over and over again.
You know, Nick, before we let you run, I had one last one. Trey Murphy. I mean, you move on from Brandon Ingram in the offseason where you trade him to Toronto, and Toronto basically uses that as their splash free agent signing, and he's doing in Toronto what he did in New Orleans for so many years, putting up decent points on a team that's not going to do anything, even in the poor Eastern Conference. So sorry about that, Toronto fans. But just Trey Murphy, like, it's been kind of a trend over the course of his career, Nick, where he starts the season slow and then gets hot towards the backstretch. But a lot of that is because he starts the season off hurt. He's been hurt to start the year for the past couple of seasons. He's healthy, but he's ice cold right now, Nick. 12.8 points per game, 34% shooting. And when you move on from BI and you make that trade, you don't want to pay him long term. And there was the financial aspect of that where the Pelicans didn't want to hand him a max contract extension, understandably so. They were ready for Trey Murphy to step into those roles and be a true number two. But at the same time, he's getting that opportunity so far this year, and I get it's a small sample size of only four games. There was a lot of buzz, Nick, in these parts that he was going to make an all-star leap. And so far, it has not happened, and it's really unfortunate to see.
Charlie, when that happens and you don't get that type of jump that you're looking for, the word here and the phrasing is, uh-oh. Because you've given a young player the opportunity hasn't been there, and when you don't get that, you get a team that is just going nowhere. If the Pels want to turn things around, he better get hot real soon, but I'm with you. If you get the chance and you don't take advantage of it, that is a big red flag moving forward.
Nick, my favorite voice in basketball, man. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick.
Guys, it's always good to be with you. Talk to you soon.
All righty.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedel. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Shout out to Magazine Pizza, folks, for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery. Best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just go check out magazinepizza.com. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back right after this on WWL. High school football fans, get ready for week 9 of our Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Join Ian Ozan and Coach Lou Valden. That's coming up 7 p.m., the most comprehensive high school football show in America. WWL feature reporters at all the big games, Edna Carr at John Curtis, Jesuit at Archbishop Rummel, Covington at Ponchatoula, Mandeville at St. Paul's, Lake Shore at Archbishop Harahan, and Verando and Riverside. Get ready for Friday Night Lights, the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper. That's tonight, 7 to 10:30, right here on WWL. Coming back with more, closing out this Halloween edition of Sports Talk right after this. Again, folks, shouting out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Go check out magazinepizza.com. Charlie, we're wrapping up our Halloween edition here of Sports Talk. We get to come back and do another Saints pregame. This is our pre-pregame.
Yeah, we'll do the same thing on Sunday. Steve, what? It's not going to be on Sunday, the World Series. Call your shot. Do the Blue Jays close it out tonight, or do the Dodgers force a Game 7?
I am worried about Sir Yamamoto on the mound tonight. I think we're going to a Game 7, man.
Ooh, the best two words in sports. I'm hopeful that Gausman matches him, and the LSU Tiger can lead the Blue Jays to their World Series. I think first since 1993 or something like that.
I just feel like we're going to see something outstanding and never done before by Ohtani yet again this evening.
Yeah, he's a special, special talent, but... Did you see the picture of Trey Savage when he struck him out and like Ohtani goes down to one knee and Savage is walking off the mound? Listen, as a 22-year-old, get that framed and have that hanging in your house for the rest of time. That's awesome.
Happy Halloween, folks. Coming up next, kickoff with Boomer Valente right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.